Tom and Leah are the Watchers.
One, two, three, four, put your booty on the floor. Gonna get up to get down?
Yes, always.
Yeah, thought so. Tom, there's something missing.
What's that?
You're here.
I'm here.
I'm here.
You're here.
We've got microphones, obviously, and all the paraphernalia that goes along with it. But there's not a tall man.
Where's that looming presence?
Where is the Ash?
Mm.
Unfortunately, we're ashless this week, but I know why.
He
gave a good reason.
Yeah.
He said he's superstitious.
Yep.
And doesn't like episode 13.
Oh, I'll do the heavy lifting.
If you could, that'd be great.
Yeah, sure. No, yeah. Bring on the horror.
It is episode 13, and it's spooky. In that I watched a old school movie from the late 80s, early 90s, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit later on, which it was a movie that I didn't expect to have things in it that it had, and it was missing stuff that I expected it to have.
Mm.
Yeah, but I kept watching.
What a tease.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Speaking of tease, I watched some free-to-air stuff. I've tried to watch some free-to-air stuff, but it was it wasn't impossible, but they made it difficult for me. So we'll talk a little bit about how far consumers go in trying to watch something.
Sure, yeah.
Before they just go, nah.
Nah, too much work.
That's too much. But let's get up to date with some stuff that we have been watching.
Sure.
Unfortunately, I'm not up to date with Black Lightning. Episode 4, I think, came out this week. I missed it. I had to go to bed early last night and missed it, unfortunately. But did you catch up?
I did. I caught it the other night, and another solid episode. We're learning a little bit more about Tobias White, who's the albino gentleman.
I like him.
Yes, they've given him a bit more to do rather than just smile menacingly.
Yeah, I think in episode 3 he was sort of a bit more involved.
Yeah, well, this episode we met his sister, and we also met the woman he worked for, and we learned that he used to be a politician.
Ooh.
And that's why he's so charismatic and knows how to work people.
So he's got away with words. And have you read the comics?
Yes.
Okay. So in the comics, is he a larger character?
He certainly is.
He's around more. So this is more in keeping with the first couple of episodes.
Yes. He kind of is similar to Kingpin for Daredevil.
Okay.
That looming underworld figure that dominates.
I think I'm enjoying the way they're introducing him then, slowly, bit by bit.
Yeah. Well, look, if they learned anything from watching Daredevil, we didn't see Wilson Fisk, we didn't see Vincent D'Onofrio until episode 4, and just really slowly built him up as a scary villain.
Yeah, that's right. He just suddenly appeared, didn't he?
Yeah.
You know, there was a car scene, if I recall.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't driving, but he was in the back seat, if I remember.
And got out and introduced someone's face to the door.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that mixed with in the art gallery meeting Matt Murdock for the first time.
Yeah, and we're also learning a little bit more about the daughters.
Yes.
How are the superpowers going?
Well, youngest one is still an ancillary player, nothing happening there. But the older one is coming to terms and perhaps choosing whether or not to tell a new partner about.
Do you think that she's a bit scared of it? Because from what I've seen, she was confused, not so much terrified.
She does a bit of training.
Okay.
You get a montage.
Nice. Yes. I like a montage.
And that seems to have given a lot more self-confidence. She's also really taking in what the press is saying about Black Lightning returning, giving strength to the city, giving strength to the people. And she's observing the fact that nothing's happening after these Black Lives Matter marches and wants to do something her own way. So I think we can expect her to step up more in the weeks to come.
Do you think we can see her, or potentially even the younger daughter, starting to realise, put two and two together, that perhaps their dad and Black Lightning is not in the same room at the same time?
I think that will have to come sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
If I was to hazard a guess, I think Taylor, who outfits Black Lightning. I have a feeling he's going to find out about the daughter and perhaps start training her in secret. And whether or not he tells each other about each other will be a big question.
That's a nice little storyline.
Yeah.
I wonder how closely from the comics they're going to take this.
Bits and pieces, I think they will. But I can see that they're making this far more mature than the comic was. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I remember you saying in the beginning it was a bit different anyway. Like just from the first episode that you saw, it was that they were taking a few, not liberties, but just changing things about a bit, freshening it up and
adapting it for the screen.
Now, speaking about comic books that have been adapted for the screen, you sent a screen cap of a particular Robert Kirkman tweet this week. He said, "I try to avoid braggy posts, but I just learnt The Walking Dead episode
issue,
I'm so used to talking about the show, 175 outsold every single comic published by Marvel in January. That's especially nice because many there told me I was going to crash and burn when I left in 2008. Hashtag this is not crashing and burning.
Yeah, the dude's done really well for himself. He started he started out just as a guy who worked in a comic book store and was writing spec scripts and hoping to get a gig, and created some of his own characters at the same time while he started doing a bit of in-house work for Marvel.
Mm.
He first got a lot of buzz around him because he did a series called Marvel Zombies, where a zombie virus that only affects superheroes broke out.
That's cool.
Yeah, and the heroes pick the Earth clean in about a week.
And that's all? It's all done and dusted?
Then Galactus and the Silver Surfer come from space and they kill Silver Surfer, eat him, get his power cosmic, and so go and pick apart the universe.
Holy cow.
And then find a way to get through to alternate universes.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so it's a whole thing.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't like post-zombie apocalyptic worlds to be cheerful.
No, this one's not. And the brilliant part of this is they kept a lot of their memories and personalities, so every time Spider-Man eats, he suddenly remembers that he killed his wife and aunt and cries.
Goodness.
And has that self-deprecation, and like it's really funny.
Were there many issues?
So there've been five miniseries all up of 4 to 6 issues each.
That's not bad.
Yeah, so Kirkman did the first two,
mm-hmm.
and then from there it got weirder when they were crossing dimensions because they included Howard the Duck and Machine Man and all these really, really D-grade characters.
Oh, my goodness.
It's well worth a read.
I wouldn't mind reading it.
I think one day they'll do a Marvel Zombies film.
It seems like it could easily be something that's on the cards. Although, do you think that the zombie craze that we've had in pop culture is sort of on the downhill?
No.
You don't think so?
No, we're obsessed with...
I still love the whole zombie genre.
Sure.
But I just wondered.
Look, we as humans have massive egos and we're always convinced that our generation is going to be the last one, that we're going to ruin the earth somehow. And this is, biological warfare is something that we're very afraid of and has the potential to kick off. So I think in the same way that they keep on, making earthquake movies and making giant monster movies and stuff, I don't see zombies going away anytime soon.
Fair enough. And I'd be happy with that. I'm looking forward to a couple more. I know that I can't remember the name of it. It might be called Days Gone or something. Video games.
Yes.
Where you get immersed in them.
Sure.
And it's a zombie world. If you remember The Last of Us.
Yes.
Which was a few years ago now.
Yeah, I think number 2 is due this year.
Number 2 is due out, and I will definitely be playing that. And I was talking about this with someone from work yesterday, and he was saying how much he loves getting immersed in games like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said walking around that world and hearing the clickers, if you remember, they were the really hard ones to kill, he would be scared.
Yep.
And I remember that feeling too, playing those games. And I thought, I wouldn't mind that feeling again. Because in those sort of games, that Naughty Dog game, they never let you feel overpowered.
Sure. Yeah, you're always the underdog.
You're always the underdog. Unlike many video games where the more you level up, you become more powerful and you're almost got godlike powers by then. Never that. It was always a struggle. It was always just enough ammo to get you through. And sometimes there wasn't. And you had to figure out a way to get around or something. And do you remember a couple of months ago they released the trailer for Last of Us 2 a couple of months ago? And it was bleak.
Yes.
very bleak. Yes. A lot of people are talking about it and not in necessarily in a positive spin.
Yeah, I didn't get through more than maybe an hour of the first one. I don't like scary games.
Really?
No, I like the Lego games. You know, I like bright, happy things that I can play for 20 minutes and then put down again. Mm-hmm. I just don't have the attention span anymore. Mm-hmm. World of Warcraft broke me.
Fair enough.
But I read lots of spoilers and the plot for Last of Us because
so
everyone
understood.
Was raving about it. And yeah. I understand the reference to a giraffe and, mm-hmm. and these sorts of things. So
yeah.
I am excited to hear what happens in the second one, but I won't be playing because I'm chicken
you know.
Shit.
Yeah, fair enough. I'll let you know. Don't worry.
Thanks.
I've got you for all the spoilers. The whole zombie genre has gone on and on and on to the point where there are and have been books, amazing books, obviously. You know, we're talking about World War Z
mm-hmm.
and his little handbook. If you remember
yes.
the guy, that was really fun. And then there are other ones that are kind of taking the piss a little bit. I remember there was a series of books. I think they might have only been on Amazon. And every novel had like a play on words or a play on famous titles of other movies and stuff. So it was Eat, Pray, you know,
yes.
zombie, that kind of thing.
I remember Pride, Prejudice and Zombies.
Yeah, all of those. And they were a lot of fun. But when I think about how long ago that was, it was probably 10 years ago
yeah,
that they
been,
were around.
Been I don't know. I think a lot of the pop for zombies has faded. It's more people messing with the original tenets of the...
Mm.
Of the genre. Do you remember Warm Bodies from a few years ago with Nicholas Hoult?
I enjoyed that.
I enjoyed that as well.
Yeah.
I like ones that are doing something a little bit different.
Yeah, a love story with a zombie. I mean, how much different couldn't you get?
Yeah.
But well done to Robert Kirkman. And, of course, we've got The Walking Dead coming back.
Yeah, only a few weeks.
We'll be talking about it on here for sure.
Huzzah.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a little bit worried. I did see Carol
yes.
mention that she's surprised her character has lasted this long.
Sure.
I don't want her to talk about that.
No. I read something that Maggie.
Yeah, Maggie.
She's in pay disputes. Because her contract ends at the end of season 8. Norman right. and Andrew Lincoln are booked through the end of season 10. And
anybody else? Do you know?
I'm not sure about the others, but she wants... pay equity with them.
Fair enough.
Or she's going elsewhere.
Holy cow.
So she's currently shopping around for pilot season.
Oh, no.
Yes.
She's playing the hard game.
Yeah, and good on her.
Have you heard this theory about Carl?
About not being dead?
About Carl being perhaps immune. I've heard this being mentioned a few times.
Look, I read one thing with Robert Kirkman where he was at a Comic-Con and was asked about it, and he said, maybe he's not gone. I think that's just him stoking.
Yeah. Maybe this is where it's from. I have heard it on and off, though, over the years.
It's just...
Talking about either Carl or Judith being the next generation and the generation that are, you know...
Sure. I feel like it jumps the shark. You know, there's been no hints... Throughout, 7.5 or whatever seasons that there's any chance of immunity.
Yeah.
You die, it's already in your blood, you come back, no matter how you die.
That's true. We saw that in season 2.
Yeah.
I think is when we first learnt that.
Yeah, so it's not just the bites. So are we kind of annoyed if they go that angle?
Mm.
I mean, it'd be cool to keep Carl around. I've talked before about my displeasure of separating from all the potential storylines in the comics.
Mm.
But we'll see.
We don't have long to find out
no,
either.
No.
It'll all happen quite quickly
yes.
if it does happen,
if it does
which
happen.
It probably will.
Nice podcast. They make them for men.
What else have you been watching?
Well, speaking about post-apocalyptic, I've caught a great new show. Well, I say new. It came out in November, I believe, maybe early December, but I think it was on Hulu in the States.
Mm-hmm.
Just been added to iTunes called Future Man, and it stars Josh Hutcherson. From
Hunger Games, yeah, Peter.
Yes, him. And he's a slacker janitor at a pharmaceutical company working on a cure for herpes.
Okay.
He also spends his spare time trying to finish a game that's been touted as unfinishable. And he does successfully finish the last mission, and then space-time rips open around him, and it turns out that the game was a training simulator from the future sent back to find a savior.
That's so cool.
So he then gets plucked out of time to go and try and save the future.
How many episodes do you know
exist? I believe there's 13, maybe 15 all up,
something
like that.
That's not bad. That's a pretty hefty season, actually,
yeah.
for this day and age.
Yeah, so they're half-hour comedies.
Yep.
It's from Seth Rogen and the same sort of people
oh,
that
okay.
worked on Preacher.
Yeah, yeah.
And the first episode, like, that's, I only caught it last night, the premiere. Hooked me, but just gut-busting laughter.
Oh,
I was
great.
Laughing so much. If you enjoy your 80s movies, this thing has, like, blatant references and call-outs to Star Wars. I think there were some Gremlins in there, The Last Starfighter, some pretty deep cuts, some really good stuff in there.
Gremlins, I don't know how you would get a future.
I think there was just a poster in the wall.
Oh, okay.
Just very clever little ways of linking up of, like, hey, this... The concept for this show sounds a lot like movies we've seen in the past, and they acknowledge that.
Oh, I like the fact they acknowledge it then.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, speaking of movies from the 80s, I was just literally looking on Netflix on the weekend just for something to watch, whether I'd seen it or not. I didn't care. I felt like watching an old school movie.
Sure.
And I saw a Patrick Swayze one. I'd seen, you know, I knew it existed, and it's called Roadhouse from 1989.
Oh, Roadhouse, yeah.
He plays Dalton, and I'm assuming this was maybe a year or two after Dirty Dancing.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably his follow-up, actually, because Dirty Dancing, I think, is 87, 88, something like that.
Sure.
So obviously, I assume there was going to be some sort of dancing. He may have done something like that. No, it's...
bar brawls.
Yeah. Total bar brawls, but it reminded me of the fighting scenes in stuff like Batman.
Sure.
It's just all punching.
Yeah.
It's just punchy the whole time. And someone gets out a gun and they're like, whoa. I'm like, why are you surprised? This is Texas. I'm actually surprised there was the minimal amount of guns that there were in the whole thing. What a funny movie.
Yeah.
Unintentionally at this point in time.
Sure.
But the whole nostalgia thing, I couldn't stop watching it.
It's a great film. There's some really solid writing. Swayze brings the thunder.
Yeah, he does.
Some great fights.
And mullets.
Yes. See, I enjoy... A bit of Swayze from back in that period. I put it in there with the early Steven Seagal works.
Mm-hmm.
There's some very clever camera work done for film working on a budget and this sort of stuff. But, yeah, Roadhouse is great.
Roadhouse. I just love the fact that he rolled up into this new town, got himself a new crappy car, and just the stuff, every time you'd see the car, something else had been done to it. Enjoyed it.
Well, look, if you enjoyed that film, I'll make another recommendation.
Yes, please.
One called They Live.
Who's in that?
Rowdy Roddy Piper from the wrestling. He was
Somebody
big in the 80s and 90s.
Somebody else was talking about this.
And Keith David. And Rowdy Roddy Piper comes into possession of a pair of sunglasses that allow him to see that we've actually been invaded and people have been body snatched.
So bad.
It's very cheesy. It's John Carpenter. It's very 80s horror comedy.
They
action.
Live.
They live. But there is an amazing fight sequence of him and Keith David just punching the shit out of each other. And I'm not kidding, for like 6 or 7 minutes straight.
Have they got the sound effect?
Oh, yeah. And the whole time Rowdy's screaming at him, just put on the fucking glasses. Put on the glasses. Because the guy won't believe him about this stuff happening. And then,
so
he gets the glasses on, he can see, he'll be on board with the plan. Great fight sequence.
Okay, I'm going to watch
truly
this.
Truly one of the most hardcore, dirty, just slobber-knocking
stuff.
Yeah.
Because that's what it was all about back then. And for no reason, apart from the fact it was in the 1980s, there was just women walking around without tops on a lot.
Yep. Sun's out, guns out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That was a ridiculously fun movie to watch if you're looking for something stupid, mullets and Swayze in his element. I mean, he was the actor at that point in time.
Throb.
Yeah, this is before Point Break, before he went baddie. This is it. And it's on Netflix if you want to catch it.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Another thing I watched, actually, I watched this because I wanted to watch something else. I was at work on Monday night when Chopper appeared on the TV.
Yes.
I could see it on television, but it was mute because at radio stations you can't have the television on.
Of course.
Makes sense, right?
Yes.
I went, I'm sure they've got that on their playback app or whatever, Nine. So I went to Nine Now, or I think it's called, or Nine Go or something. Sure, no problem. Do you want to watch it? Yes, please. Just grab this activation code, go over to our website, sign up, and then put the activation code in, then come back and then watch it.
Oh, all the hoops.
I went, nope, not doing that. I'm not going anywhere near that. Ended up at ABC iView because it was much easier.
Yeah.
But how far do you go for something free like that? I just wanted to watch it.
Yeah. That's crazy.
I don't want to take half an hour of my life signing up for something that I know you're going to put ads in.
should have jumped on iTunes. It was up the next morning.
I should have done that.
Not that I've watched it. I won't. I watched the first Underbelly.
I haven't seen an Underbelly.
Yeah, just... Yeah. The first one was cool. The second one, I think I lasted two episodes, and then I haven't caught any since then.
I don't think they've done one for a few years.
Yeah, they took a bit of a break. Now, I think they're now mini-series or movie
they are.
Events.
They are. Yeah, they are. And people are still fascinated with Chopper.
Of course.
Still fascinated. They still... I think because he was so... That sort of larrikin,
mm-hmm.
but he obviously bad.
Yeah.
But larrikin...
He was not a good person.
He wasn't a good person at all, but we're still fascinated with him.
I have a good friend that's continuing to profit from his legacy.
Yeah, you do.
That's good.
Yeah, that is great. Mm. And thumbs up to him.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah. So instead I went to ABC iView and checked out some of the new show Squinters.
Sure.
What a great show.
Yeah, enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Solid writing.
So, yeah, absolutely. And that's what it's all about. The premise is carpooling.
Yep.
So you only see scenes in the morning and afternoon during peak hour. And it will go between several cars and several different characters are in it. You've got, actually, I don't know her name, but all of a sudden I went, oh, it's Rhonda from the Amy ads.
Oh.
She's in it. And there's a whole heap of faces and famous.
Sam Simmons is in it.
Of course.
I love Sam Simmons so much.
And, of course, we can't go past the man with the hair, the man with the beard, the man with the very blue eyes.
Tim Minchin.
Yeah. He's in it. Playing a delivery man.
I stage managed for him years ago.
Did you really?
Yeah. Loveliest guy.
I thought he would be.
Yeah. Refuses to wear shoes.
Why should, if babies shouldn't be kept in the corner, why should his feet be kept in shoes?
He claimed that it allowed him to feel the pedals better when he was playing the keys.
He's got a reason at least, and it seems like a valid one. Great show.
Yeah.
Jump on. They're sort of half-hour tops.
Okay.
And they're really bingeable. I watched two in a row
because
I was just enjoying it. The flow's really good and very just funny Aussie stuff.
Nice.
And they've got all the episodes available on ABC.
So you can dive in and smash it all in one night if you want.
Watch the whole lot. It was only released a couple of weeks, a week ago, I think.
Okay.
So pretty fresh and new.
Yeah.
And free.
Free is good.
No ads as well. They didn't ask me to sign up. It was brilliant.
Easy. Thanks, ABC.
Thanks, ABC.
Hey, I watched something random the other day.
Yeah?
I watched something in Mandarin.
Okay.
Yeah. So have you seen Fresh Off the Boat? Do you know that show?
I know. Yeah, I've seen one.
I love that show.
It's a good show.
It's
very popular.
Yes. Yes. It's done very well. And I feel it's getting better with age as the kids grow into the roles and that sort of stuff. And, you know, I was a 90s kid, so a lot of it resonates with me. And I thought it was cool listening to hip hop and that sort of stuff. Anyway, they had one episode because it was Chinese New Year.
Yes.
That the family decided they'd only speak Chinese, Mandarin.
Mm.
And the very competitive son and the very competitive mother got in a standoff and then for the entire episode only spoke in Mandarin.
Brilliant.
With the captions. And normally we're only getting the grandmother speaking in Mandarin.
Yeah.
The rest respond to her in English. And they had this really funny scene where everyone was sitting around the table talking in Mandarin and Eddie, the oldest son, kept saying the same phrase and then someone called him out and was just like, you can't speak Mandarin. He's like, I've been sitting here for like 20 minutes saying, someone pass me those dumplings. That's what I think I've been saying. That you're not saying that. So I understand it. I just don't speak it.
That's hilarious.
And it made me think there must be a whole lot of second generation families or third generation families where mm-hmm. that's the case.
My aunt is Chinese Malaysian.
Yeah.
And she can understand, speak a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember a couple of years ago was getting private tutor just because she wanted to learn how to write.
Sure.
In Mandarin.
Yeah.
Because she didn't know. Yeah. And it fascinates me, and I'm sure you experienced the same thing growing up when you were a kid. There are kids from, you know, different countries. They may have been born here or born over there, but I still remember having – you know, you wait for your mum or your dad to come and pick you up and, you know, you're chatting with your mates at school and their mum would arrive and they would be half – the sentence would be half English, half, you know, Lebanese, Arabic, whatever, Mandarin. And I just was always in awe that someone could do that. And I was speaking to someone the other day saying, I just think it's amazing that the brain, human brains can do that, flip from one to the other so quickly. And she said, from someone who can speak two languages fluently, she's like, no, it's lazy. Because you're just thinking of the first word that comes to your head, whether it's English or Spanish or whatever. It's lazy. That's not impressive. Still pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's impressive.
Still impressive. Yeah, whether you're consciously doing it or not, I think it's amazing that the brain can do that.
Yeah.
I don't speak a language enough to be able to.
I learnt a lot of German at school. I can't speak much of it to save my life now, but I can still understand it pretty well.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I listen to a bit of German hip-hop.
Have you been over there? And
Yeah, I went on exchange there.
How did that, the immersing, did that go?
Look, as I say, it was when I was a teenager.
It was phenomenal.
So
it was
when I was learning it, speaking everything else,
you were
it was
a sponge.
Great. It was awesome. I went across and somehow ended up at an all-girls school for a couple of
Are you
months.
Sure this is not a 1980s movie you're talking
it
about
like
now?
It.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah.
You should write one. Copyright, Tom.
Yeah. Me and two of my mates went over and ended up at this girls' school.
Just three guys mm-hmm. hanging out in a German girls' school.
Yep. I got to stand next to the TV and translate Shakespeare in Love. And that is a really good way to watch a room full of women fall in love with you.
You know, there are still some ladies in Germany who speak about the Tom.
Oh.
The Aussie Tom.
I'd like to give a shout out to the goth chick that I made out with at the Black Sabbath concert.
She'd be listening for sure.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know any Black Sabbath songs in German, but if you've got a week to practice, that'd be great if you'd come back and sing a Black Sabbath song in German.
Oh, it's hard enough to sing Black Sabbath in English exactly. with his voice.
Exactly.
I caught two episodes of, I don't know, I've been thinking about fun holidays because it's that time of year. You know, we've just finished Christmas holidays. You start planning things. Mm. New show popped up in my feed called Extreme Hotels.
I'm interested.
It's a guy who has run hotels for his whole career, and he now goes around the world. He gets a theme for each week and visits 4 to 6 different hotels that fit that theme. So I watched one episode about tree houses, extreme hotel tree houses.
The kid in me who is obsessed with the Ewok tree houses.
There's one just like that.
I need to go to there.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And there were ones that were spherical, put up in trees and this sort of
oh,
stuff.
Wow.
That's really clever stuff.
Fun.
The other one was just around bizarre hotels. So you could go and stay in a recreation of the horse from Invading Troy.
Okay.
Yeah.
What, you stay up the top or are you sort of down?
Oh, you're in the whole horse.
Okay.
And you can climb up into the head and work the robotics to make the horse move.
Yes, please.
Uh-huh. Everything about this was just like, oh, yeah.
Now, these can't just be all American.
Americans
love these ideas, but
I haven't seen much of him being in America.
Ah.
He's spent a lot of time in Central and South America
mm-hmm.
and then scattered throughout Europe. So I think this place was maybe Sweden or Switzerland or somewhere around there.
That just sounds amazing to me.
Yeah,
I've got to start planning a trip too now, obviously.
Oh, it was really good. There was another one about, water-based hotels that I saw.
Like underwater sort of aquariums.
Yeah.
Where you wake up and your window is literally the fish.
Yeah. So he went to one where you've got a scuba dive to your hotel and you can ring and get pizza delivered.
My sister was telling me about one and I can't remember where it is. I want to say somewhere in Australia, but it's definitely not Taronga Western Plains Zoo. But you get to stay at the zoo and you wake up and literally the lions are lying just at your bedroom window.
That's Canberra Zoo.
It's Canberra, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Canberra National Zoo.
That just sounds like the best
lions,
thing in the whole
tigers,
entire world.
Lions, tigers, bears.
Any giraffes?
Monkeys. Yes, there are giraffes and you can go out and feed them, but you can do the same thing at
Western Plains. Yes.
Yeah, they have all sorts of different cabins and hotels and stuff. There's also one cabin they've got that's built into the back of their shark aquarium, so the sharks swim above your bed. Mm-hmm.
Canberra.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about...
I love Canberra, and Canberra Zoo is great because it's privately owned, unlike most of our zoos, which are publicly owned and funded by the government,
yeah.
So they have to raise money in order to do anything.
Yeah.
This was just started by a real crazy millionaire.
I'm down with
who,
that.
Who, like, went and bought all the animals from various circuses.
Yeah.
So he has the only white lion troupe in Australia. Ooh. And all this sort of stuff. And pretty much if you see any animals on TV ads in Australia, especially Optus with the giraffes parading
yes.
and things like
yes,
that, they're all his animals.
Ah, okay. Yeah. I have a lot of trips to go on.
Well, just like I took my daughter down last year
mm-hmm.
to Canberra because they opened a new part of the zoo, which literally more than doubled the size of the zoo,
mm-hmm.
added a much sort of open plained type area. It's really good.
Fun.
Yeah,
busy?
No, it wasn't too busy. And you have a lot of paid experiences, so you can pay to feed tigers or get up close with all sorts of creatures.
Now, you are aware of the fact that I worked in radio in Dubbo.
Yes.
And the zoo was pretty good mates with the radio station sure. that I worked at. And we stayed at the Zoofari Lodge mm-hmm. and we got to feed the, I can't remember if it was tigers or lions now, but it's with tongs
yes.
and a piece of meat. But still, the experience is amazing. But they take you around the back part of it
mm-hmm.
because that zoo, what the amount of animals and space that you see
oh,
in
it's
that
a fraction
zoo
of it.
Is literally a quarter, I think yeah. they said. They've got so much space. They take you around the back, and I remember distinctly, this is the bit I remember the most. We came behind the cheetahs,
mm-hmm.
and they said, see this cheetah, she's our old lady, she's 16 years old, and she doesn't go out on display very often, mainly just the people who, you know, are on this yep. safari thing get to see her. I can't remember her name, but I remember her face was so mesmerizing. It looked like she was so wise and she was about to speak English.
Sure.
I've never seen an animal's face quite like it, apart from maybe an orangutan or a gorilla, you know, where there's something going on in the brain.
They have humanish features, primate yeah. features, so we can relate, but yeah.
This cheetah was so full on. I just went, whoa. And I said to, you know, whoever was sitting next to me, one of my workmates, I went, that cheetah's face. And they went, I know. Like, we were like, we want it to be our best friend, please. But it wouldn't be because it was a cheetah. But, yeah, amazing. Though it's definitely worthwhile going to a zoo, particularly in Australia where you know it. They take care of them. They're good. They're great quality.
Yep.
You have a lot of love for zoos. I know you
do.
Want to eventually have one yourself.
Yes.
But Taronga Zoos, I know, have the you can become a friend of the zoo.
Yes.
And as a yearly membership, you just go whenever you want.
Yeah.
I did that once.
Yeah, look, I have that now with my daughter. And
it's great. You just pop in for an hour or two.
That's it. It makes such a difference because if you're only going once a year or something like that, you're paying the $50 entry, mm-hmm. whatever, per person, and you want to make sure that you get everything
yeah,
out of the zoo. So
exactly.
you're going to drag the whole family around everywhere. We've got a race
Everyone's
to this show.
Everyone's exhausted.
Sort of stuff. No, we've got it set up. So Sunday morning, we can race in there and go in for 45 minutes, go and grab a cup of tea, sit. See a few animals. She likes to see the giraffes and the chimpanzees, which handily are located right next to each other. Go on the sky safari, take it back up to the top, go back to the car. She's done.
And you're good to go.
Yeah.
And it really is, I think, for an adult, it's like worth two trips.
Yeah, you, exactly. If you go twice, then
you've made your money.
You've made your money.
Yeah.
So I will also go across there. If I've got to do a lot of strategic thinking, if I've got a big pitch meeting coming up, I'll go across with a notepad and find somewhere to sit for 2 or 3 hours and jot down ideas.
Yeah, good idea.
Because they're such cool sounds.
Yeah, that's true.
It puts you in nature. You can go and sit near, you know, the elephant waterfall is a great area. There's a lot of cool noises going on there or over near the monkeys, but they can get a bit rowdy.
Yeah, I bet they can.
Yeah. Anyway, zoo chat.
I love a good zoo chat.
Yeah.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
We've got to give a shout out to someone.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, my good friend Tom Chang hit
hey,
us
Tom.
Up. Hi, Tom. He wanted to let us know that he'd read a theory connecting The Good Place and Parks and Recreation, that they share a universe because they're from the same creator.
Interesting.
In the last episode of Good Place,
yeah,
we see Eleanor reading a magazine.
Yeah.
And on the back cover is and as she flicks through it, we see a few different ads for different things in Pawnee, the town from Parks and Recreation.
I'm going to have to go back and watch.
It's real, you know, TiVo moment.
Yeah.
Grab the frames.
Nice reference of TiVo there, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was good.
I'm old school. That's what we used to have to do for Lost. We need to TiVo it, grab those screen grabs.
So The Good Place and Parks and Recreation have a link.
Yeah, shared universe. I believe it's Jean Ralphio, who's probably my favourite Parks and Recreation character, who is always coming up with harebrained schemes of how to get rich. He has an ad on the back cover of the magazine for an eau de toilette that he's
That is
out.
A good find, Tom. Mm.
So thanks, Tom.
Yeah, thank
Excellent
you.
Excellent work.
I'm definitely going back and watching, and I need to go back and watch Parks and Recreation again. I got through like the first 3 seasons.
Yes.
Dropped off and then came back at the end.
Season 4 is
I
where
need
it
to
really
get back
ramped
into
up.
It. Such a good show.
The last season they do a time jump. They go forward 3 years. It's very cool. And then the very last episode is a massive time jump to the end of all of their stories.
Oh.
Yeah,
and Eleanor walks past.
I'm throwing out an idea for a future episode that we do.
Yeah.
So I've been watching Drunk History, which I believe I've talked about before, but yep. I love. I think we should get a few episodes together. Mm. You and Ash haven't seen it.
Mm.
Let's get drunk and watch Drunk History and record.
That's such a good idea.
Yeah. Listeners, if you think that's a good idea, let us know because it's a bit of work.
Just a bit.
Could get a bit loose.
It's fun work, though.
But yeah, if you think that'd make for an interesting lesson, let us know.
We could help you learn things.
Yeah.
Drunk minds at least believe they're very intellectual.
Fire off differently.
Yeah, very differently.
Mm.
Very differently. But you're sober today.
I'm sober the majority of the time.
I know you are. And I reckon you're going to absolutely power through a quiz that I've organised.
Because
remember we did the TV?
I do remember.
Had somebody on the Facebook page say, can't wait for a new quiz.
Well, it makes sense to do it with me because I got all the answers right.
Yeah, you got all of them right. Okay, so these are movie titles that almost were. So they are not necessarily the original movie title, but they were one that they were going to go along with.
Sure.
The first one, Star Beast. I'll give you a few clues as we go through. So it's originally from the late 70s.
E.T.?
No, but that had a few.
Okay.
And I've not added that.
Sure.
Because they were a little bit obvious.
Yes, okay.
This one is definitely about an extraterrestrial.
Yes.
This one has actually only recently, maybe the past year or so, had another
Aliens? Or Alien, I should say.
Alien. The first one was originally going to be called Star Beast. Glad they went with Alien.
Yeah.
Star Beast does not sound scary.
No, it sounds like a He-Man villain.
I'm going to go with an 80s one here.
Mm.
Not scary at all.
Okay.
It was originally going to be called When I Grow Up.
Big?
Mm. Nice one.
Thanks. It's a good movie.
I love that movie.
I danced on that piano. Went to New York.
Doesn't exist anymore, does it?
No, F.A.O. Schwartz went under.
So what, did you have to line up? Did you have to pay? Like,
I pushed a kid out of the way.
Perfect. This is a good story. As long as there's a story behind it, I'm okay.
I shoved. I got to the front of that line.
Now, we had a bit of a reference to this movie last week.
Mm.
Jean-Claude Van Damme,
yes.
The original. He's the link. The original title was Hunter.
Predator?
That was an easy one. This one is a little left of center. It was from the late 80s. It was a rom-com.
Mm.
It was called 3000 originally. This was a huge movie. People still reference bits and pieces of it today. I watched it a couple of years ago.
Sleepless in Seattle?
No, a little bit earlier on. If I give you the...
Pretty Woman?
Pretty Woman.
Yeah,
I was going to say Fair
that'd
Lady.
Be the fee.
That would, yeah. Yeah, 3000 must have been the fee. This one has had a remake recently, sort of. Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? Last year there was...
Yes, this is the Philip K. Dick story, and it's Blade Runner.
Blade Runner, yeah, with Harrison Ford in both of them.
Mm.
And the final one, I'm so glad they did not go with this title, because I do not understand it, Spaceman from Pluto. It was the first of three movies. Personally, the second one was the best for me. There's a clock tower in it.
Oh, Back to the Future.
Back to the Future was going to be called Spaceman from Pluto. Please tell me where. Where is that reference? If you remember that reference at all, if it was a line or something from Back to the Future, please let us know. Jump onto our Facebook page, facebook.com/WeOtherWatchers. Be really interested because I cannot for the life of me figure out where that's from. Where is the reference?
Yeah.
I can't
very
think
odd.
Of it. Very, very odd. That's it. You did really well.
Thanks. I
In
feel
fact,
good about that
you
one.
Got all of them. Nice work. We'll continue with quizzes here and there.
Sure.
Because they're always a lot of fun.
Yeah, if you've got any more suggestions, shoot them through.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's going to do it for us. We've done really well in an Ashless Society, episode 13, and we're still here.
We could pretend that he's like Ghost Dad, but he could be Ghost Ash.
Thanks, Ghost Ash.
Spooky.
Thanks, Tom.
Bye. Just a normal one this week.
It's a normal one. What's going on?
Oh, do you want me to think of something else?
Nah.